This show is brought to you by OffWorldDesigns.com. OffWorldDesigns.com is the place where you can find the nerdiest t-shirts and more at prices that won't break the bank. OffWorldDesigns.com offers shirts from all fandoms and hobbies, and even some other pretty cool stuff like messenger bags that can hold your plus one sort of awesome and so much more. You can use promo code GEEKSRULE to get 10% off your entire order. OffWorldDesigns.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net. Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geeks Nerd News Network, and today is Friday, June 27th, 2014. Man, it's late in the day, but hey, I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd, here to deliver to you the news that you need to know going into your weekend, because you're a nerd, and, well, what else you got going on? I'm kind of thinking this is the Canada Day long weekend, because Canada Day happens on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken, and next weekend being the American long weekend, so hey, long weekends for everybody, yippee-skippy. Lots of cool stuff coming up on the site. As you saw this past week, I talked with Andrew Farrago. He's the curator of the Cartoon Art Museum. And I talked about his latest book, The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Complete Visual History. We'll be doing a review show where I talk about that book along with some wrestling books and some other stuff. That should be coming out tomorrow going into Sunday. And we got the topic show for the month of June, which will be the Transformers franchise. We haven't talked about that since I think maybe year one or year two. So it's been a long time. And we've had four Michael Bay movies to talk about. Let's talk about the big elephant in the room. Transformers Age of Extinction. My following review will contain spoilers, because if you spend money on this, I want to punch you straight up in the face. I saw this movie last night with my wife Blair, and what I was in for was 165 minutes. I want you to let that sink in. 165 minutes of mindless noise. That's the only way I can describe Age of Extinction, as noise. This movie sucks. Not nearly as bad as Revenge of the Fallen, but I do like Revenge of the Fallen because I'm a Transformers apologist. Even I can't get behind this one, and that feels really shitty to say. If you guys have been watching the trailers for Age of Extinction, you know it features the Dinobots, and that's supposed to be awesome and shit. They get maybe 6 minutes of screen time and don't say a single goddamn word. Nor do we know any of their names. They never once say Snarl or Slug or Swoop, which they've renamed these people. And you never hear them once say Grimlock. To me, that is a crime. The basic premise for the story is it's been about 3 or 4 years since the Battle of Chicago. The Autobots are in hiding. There's this military group led by Frasier, aka Kelsey Grammer, who will hence be referred to as Frasier, leading a group called Cemetery Wind. And they're hunting down rogue Decepticons and Autobots in order to basically melt them down so this other technology group, KSI, can build new and better Transformers that are controllable. And Optimus Prime is on the run from a Transformer bounty hunter known as Lockdown, who doesn't hold any allegiance to Autobot or Decepticon. He's there to capture Optimus Prime at the request of the Creators, who are never named. My guess is the Quintessons, but I'm hoping Michael Bay didn't watch the TV series to get that far. If so, this is going to be a really tragic next installment when we get that in 2016. Yeah, this movie's a fucking mess, and you don't care. You really don't care. The best part about this movie is Mark Wahlberg and Optimus Prime, and Optimus Prime turns into a bloodthirsty thug at times, and this is not the Optimus Prime I know. Yes, I know he's reinvented from the movies, blah, 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 blah. It's bad. It's really bad. I have a hard time recommending this movie in any way, shape, and or form. I really do. I might recommend seeing it on a Tuesday or whatever the cheap day is at your theater. Do not pay full price for this. The 3D in this is okay. Mind you, okay, if there was one positive point about this movie is that you can actually see what the fuck is going on. No, really, the camera's actually pulled out enough when the Transformers are fighting, you can tell what's going on. That's about the best thing I can say about this movie. Blair had to get up to go to the bathroom 3 times during this. I had to get up twice. I miss nothing. I miss literally nothing. This movie could have had an hour trimmed out of it and it would have been fine. Like I said, the big standouts, Optimus Prime, Mark Wahlberg, although he seems very much out of his element in this. I like Stanley Tucci as well. I think he's a pretty funny guy. He actually does bring a little bit of fun to his character. But Frasier at least makes a good bad guy at times, but everything else is just, it's a lot of who the hell cares. And that's the best way to describe this movie. It's Transformers Age of What? It's boring. Like I said, it's noise and explosions. And as much as I enjoy Bayhem as the next guy, I can't get behind this. 6 out of 10, maybe, and I'm pretty sure that's being overly generous. Anyway, let's get to what we're going to be talking about this week on the show. Got a lot of cool things. Another thing involving giant robots. We're going to be talking about a major TV show that got leaked this past week. Things aren't looking so good for Crisis developer Crytek. Did you know there's been a U.S. Marine on the moon for 17 years? And finally, Kim Jong-un is coming to kill us all. Let's start this thing off with the good news involving giant robots. Guillermo del Toro, the guy who did Pacific Rim last year, has announced that a sequel has been greenlit and will be in theaters on April 7th, 2017. He's currently working on it, but after he finishes up another movie in Toronto, which should be coming out next year, I think it's a vampire movie, I want to say. I'm not 100% sure, but he did give some more news. He's working with collaborator Zach Penn, and he's working with Travis Beecham, who wrote the original. We're going to see Raleigh, Mako, Newt, Gottlieb, and they may even bring back Hannibal Chow if they can convince Ron Perlman to come back. Should be kind of fun. Another thing is that they're actually going to be having more comic books that go with this, and an animated series that will premiere before the sequel comes out. This could be amazing if done right, and if handed to the right animation studio. I'm hoping anime would be the route to go with this. I'd like to see Madhouse do it. I think their stuff was amazing. I think those are the guys who did Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex. That's who I'd like to see it now. If it does focus on bringing the original characters in, I really hope they get the original voice actors. The original actors to come in and do voices. I think that'd be fantastic. So hopefully they've got this all kind of planned out. I'm really looking forward to this. I enjoyed the first Pacific Rim. The movie did tremendous overseas. Didn't do so well over here, but obviously well enough to warrant a sequel because people have been bugging them about it forever. So looking forward to seeing Pacific Rim on April 7th, 2017. Although, admittedly, I am looking more forward to the animated series than I am anything else. So, we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. Would love to hear your guys' thoughts about this. We have a voicemail line, which now works. That's 817-717-7202. What do you want to see in Pacific Rim 2? More Jaegers? More Kaiju? Do you just want a straight-up hour-and-a-half robot long? Or hour-and-a-half long robot fight that isn't Michael Bay levels of retarded? Let me know. I would love to hear from you. The next story coming up for you, this one involves spoilers again, but the first episode of The Flash was leaked online earlier this week. They don't know how it happened, considering the network sends screeners out to people like myself, to critics, and other review people. Likely this got stole off someone's desk and was uploaded to the internet by some anonymous chode, but this does happen from time to time. It's just the way the business is. The CW is not known for leaking their own stuff, but odds are I think they were going to make this available after Comic-Con anyway. So, anyway, for those of you that have seen this, At the end of the episode, the guy who's in charge of Star Labs, Harrison Wells, he goes into a room and he gets out of his wheelchair. He goes towards a podium and there's a newspaper on it. And it's from the year 2024. And it says, Flash missing, disappears in crisis. And then there's a little headline that says, Wayne Queen merger complete. Now, you might be thinking, oh my god, this is Crisis on Infinite Earths, where the Flash, you know, dies, kind of, sort of, resetting history, whatever. This could be awesome. This is not going to happen. And allow me to explain why. The article on io9.com gives probably about the best reasoning for this. Because Warner Brothers is not going to allow a TV version of Superman, Batman, or the Justice League to compete with their movie franchise. The show can allude to these characters all they want. They can even reference major DC events. But the chances of having Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne, and other people show up on the show is not going to happen. Second of all, the showrunners do not truly believe The Flash will have a 10-year run that will pay off with Crisis on Infinite Earths. This headline is from the future, but it's not a future that the show ever plans on reaching, either in the real world or the show itself. If the series does manage to stay on the air, kind of like Smallville did for 10 years, I'm sure they got plenty of ways to get around this, kind of like they did with Smallville and other big things. I think it would be awesome if they could pull this off, but it's not going to happen. I mean, I guess we should be happy that Arrow and The Flash are happening in the same universe to begin with. And the fact that we are getting a DC multiverse like Marvel should be an accomplishment in and of itself. But the fact that they'd have all these things firing on all cylinders, likely not going to happen. Which kind of sucks. I would have liked to have seen this come to life too. I mean, I've seen The Flash pilot, through reasons, and it's entertaining for all intents and purposes. I think it'll be a really, really cool show when all's said and done. So hopefully we will get to see like big events happen, like Crisis on Infinite Earths, or have their own, basically have major Flash storylines come to life in a much smaller budget way, but still cool. So yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. Next story on my list, you guys know I dip my hat into the realm of video game reviews, which I will have a review for Transformer Rise of the Darkspark, probably tomorrow or Sunday, depending. Fuck this game. But, I have bad news. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. And this comes from Crytek. These are the guys who did, Crysis. They did, Rise. Son of Rome for the Xbox One. Things ain't looking so good over there. So what happened is, according to reports, the studios had to cancel some work on some pretty big games. They've had to cancel a sequel to Rise. They've had to cancel some prototypes for some games. And current and former Crytek employees are describing a tense, unstable work environment. This story is coming to us from Kotaku. Plagued by poor communication and a number of high-level staff departures at the company's biggest studios in Germany and Britain. In extensive conversations over the past few weeks, developers have described the company in turmoil, where staff openly talk about leaving or looking for new jobs. One employee estimates that some 100 people have left over the past 3 months. Now, it's funny, is they've been told, current Crytek employees, are told not to discuss salary issues via email, presumably to prevent leaking that there are problems, because you could send this off to, like, NeoGAF, Joystick, Kotaku, whatever. And any of the payment issues that come up are almost always handled in person. That's amazing. Now, these guys are currently developing Homefront the Revolution and the MOBA game Arena of Fate. Now, I don't know how this is all gonna play out, which really sucks, because a lot of people are missing paychecks for this stuff right now. One of the employees says, suddenly the direction everyone saw us going was not that clear anymore. It was obvious that we didn't have any big-time publishers at our back to finance our development. And a lot of people started to get frustrated and then started to look for other work, as the strategy was not clear to the employees. And it just seems to me like... I don't think Crisis 3 did as well as it should, and Rise was lukewarm at best when the game came out. And Homefront looks cool. I am interested in it. But the fact that they canceled Rise really kind of says something to me. And there's rumors that these guys are going to be in bankruptcy very, very, very soon. And that sucks, because I think Crytek's a wonderful developer. I thoroughly enjoyed Crisis 1 and 2. I don't know how I quite feel about these MOBA games. And I think this one's free to play. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And I don't know how you intend to make money on stuff like that. I mean, yeah, there's always... you can pay to get premium content. But when you're only paying your employees 30 to 40% of their regular paychecks, and others haven't been paid in months, there is a big fucking problem going on, which really, really kind of sucks. It's just one of these things that I don't know what's going to happen. And it seems to me, the more I read about this story, the more I can see the people in charge of Crytek seem to be doing it. They seem to be spending the company's money really stupidly. Now, according to people in Frankfurt, the Crytek founders, Sivet and... I can't pronounce this guy's name. Avini Yurli? Pretty sure I slaughtered that. This is what their quote is saying. Continue to drive the Ferrari sports cars to work over the past few months, which one source called a slap in the face to employees who weren't getting paid on time. One former employee added that the company spent a ton of money on expensive chairs, laptop bags, and other studio perks, including first-class tickets, first-class flight tickets for high-level employees. There was no expense spared on anything. Even when the financial trouble started, people were still flying between studios regularly. While salaries didn't get paid, the travels were still authorized. Current and former Crytek employees also complain about bureaucratic processes at the company, which, in order to get to somebody, you have to go through layers upon layers of middle management to get anything done. At one point, it became a bit of a joke within the company that some people didn't even know who to report to anymore. This seems bad. Now, supposedly, these guys are going to be getting some money in the next little bit because of their performance at E3. But as of this story, which was a couple of days ago, people still haven't received full paychecks yet. And evidently, the Crytek people are saying to anybody to not talk to the press about anything. But people are doing so under the veil of anonymity. So hopefully things get better for you guys. I really want to see Homefront the Revolution. I would have liked to have seen a sequel to Rise and maybe another Crisis, but I guess we'll wait and see. This next story, take with a grain of salt. A retired U.S. Marine claims he spent 17 years on Mars protecting 5 human colonies from Martians. I'm just going to read this story in its entirety and let you be the judge. A former U.S. Marine has claimed he spent 17 years of his career on Mars. The ex-naval infantryman, who uses the pseudonym Captain K, says he was posted to the Red Planet to protect 5 human colonies from the indigenous Martian life forms. He claims he then spent nearly 3 years serving in a secret space fleet run by a multinational organization called the Earth Defense Force, which recruits military personnel from countries including the U.S., Russia, and China. In testimony released to Exo News TV, Captain K said he was trained to fly 3 types of space fighters and 3 bombers. He added that the training took place on a secret moon base called Lunar Operations Command, Saturn's moon Titan, and in deep space. Captain K says he retired after a 20-year tour of duty, describing a retirement ceremony on the moon that he claims was presided over by VIPs, including ex-Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. I have no words for this. Is it possible? You know, I don't know how you get people up to the moon without someone noticing. I mean, there's always somebody watching the skies, and I don't believe any government on Earth is this competent to keep something like this secret, especially, at least in the manufacturing of these high-tech components. Something would have leaked out somewhere at some time. And then again, there's always the conspiracy theories out there that say, hey man, we're living on the moon and shit. And I'm a big fan of believing, you know, trust no one, the truth is out there, I want to believe. But even I find this a little bit beyond baffling, and frankly a little bit beyond stupid. But I figured I'd share it with you, the people. Do you believe Captain K served on Mars for 17 years? I want to hear from you. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net, subject line Mars. Let's talk about it. And finally, in the kicker story of the week, a kicker, for those of you that don't know, is a lighthearted story meant to elicit joy, laughter, and sort of an aw shucks moment. Well, Kim Jong-un swears merciless retaliation if the new Seth Rogen film is released. Yes, they're going to kill us over Seth Rogen and James Franco. Anyway, if you've been to the theaters recently, you know there's this movie coming out called The Interview. And the North Korean government has called this movie a wanton act of terror. And the movie is about Seth Rogen and James Franco, who attempt to assassinate North Korean leader Kim Jong-un after landing an interview with this dude. The North Korean government has promised a merciless retaliation against the United States if the interview is released, calling the film an act of war. In a statement published by the state-run KCNA news agency, a spokesman said the film is a work of gangster movie makers and is a wanton act of terror. The act of making and screening such a movie that portrays an attack on our top leadership is a most wanton act of terror and an act of war, and is absolutely intolerable, the spokesman said, according to the Associated Press. An unofficial spokesperson for Kim Jong-un said in an interview with The Telegraph that the film mirrors what the U.S. has done in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and the Ukraine. Seth Rogen then wrote on Twitter he hopes Kim Jong-un likes the movie. You know, at least Kim Jong-il had a sense of humor about this whole thing. And, I don't know, Kim Jong-un, like I said, the motherfucker looks like Android 19 from Dragon Ball Z, so take from this what you will. What are you going to do? You're going to launch nukes or military action over fucking Seth Rogen? Are you kidding me? No, seriously. If you're going to go to war with the States over something, can we please do something about, I don't know, I'm trying to think. Who currently pisses me off? Let me see. Well, let's get rid of that Jason Derulo guy. That guy's just fucking annoying. Let's take out Lady Gaga. You know, your time's over. It's time to move on. The Kardashians. All right, you know what? If you want to start a war with the United States, I perfectly believe it is okay if you say hand over the Kardashians and things are fine. You know what? You can fucking have them. Take Kanye West while you're fucking at it, too. That's my two cents. That's what happened in the world of nerd this week. From secret military bases on Mars to Kim Jong-un and The Flash and giant robots and Crytek. That's the kind of week it's been here on the Nerd News Network. So once again, if you want to get involved in the show, 817-717-7202. Definitely want to hear from you. Or feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Share your thoughts. Would love to hear them. Who do you want to see the U.S. go to war with North Korea over something stupid? Like I said, I think handing over the Kardashians, I think that's an act of peace if we hand them over. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. And I'll catch you guys again next week, right here on the Nerd News Network.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show.
So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with a shat.
Okay, okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die, 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 die. Holy crap. Whoa, whoa. Whoa, my God, whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by @replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.